Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Josh Rountree in for Pomp and Joe. They are getting some much-deserved time off. I'm sure Starkey is... And maybe Pomp too, but I'm sure that Starkey is on a golf course right now.
I had the same thought.
No doubt in my mind. In fact, I might text him in a little bit and say, are you on a golf course right now? Because the temperature, while 35 degrees, it is sunny out, and it's going to get up to, what, 50, somewhere in there today? 60 this weekend? Starkey is just, he's cooking right now. This is no work, all golf, full steam ahead for Joe Starkey, so wish those guys well. Happy to be with you from 10 to 2 today here on The Fan. Obviously a lot to get to, and off the top is presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got to get into the comments coming out of the locker room after the loss to Kansas City on Saturday. So we're going to talk about that. We got our six-pack coming up as well. Ray Fittipaldo will join us in about an hour, and then Nick Costos coming up at 12:30 today, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. So we'll get a little look at the gambling side of things. I know Joel Nelson behind the glass, very, very much so looking forward to the sports betting talk with Nick Costos, because he is not a degenerate. I wouldn't call you a degenerate, but an enthusiast perhaps in the world of sports gambling.
Yes, I think that's the more appropriate
enthusiast. We'll go with that for now. For now, let's hope it doesn't veer into that other side of the card. But again, off the top, is presented by JP Roofing and Siding. And like, let's get into this thing. I mean, it's one thing to go out and lose. It's another thing to go out and lose the way the Steelers have been losing these last three games, in which, honestly, does it look particularly competitive? Does it look like they belong with that class of team? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. They don't look like they belong with the elites of the NFL. And I thought that they did. I thought coming into that Eagles game that there was a real opportunity, a real possibility for them to not only, I don't know, win a playoff game this year, but maybe even win two. Is that so much to ask from the standard is the standard team down on South Water Street? No, I didn't think so. I thought that they were able, because of the play of the quarterback, because of what had been, you know, a relatively consistently good offense, I thought there was an opportunity for this to be the year where the, you know, barely over 500 but losing in the first round Steelers were perhaps a thing, at least temporarily, of the past. Nope. Not going to be the case. I'm not saying they can't win a playoff game, because as it stands right now, they're probably going to go to Houston if they can win this last game. And I want to get into that as we go on the show today, too, because I think that they have to beat Cincinnati this week if they want to win a playoff game this year. If they don't beat Cincinnati, or next week, I guess, as it is, because they have this long layoff, if they don't beat Cincinnati, I don't see it happening. They've lost control of the division, clearly. They're not going to win the division. Baltimore's going to win the division. All they have to do is beat Cleveland, and that doesn't seem like a particularly challenging task right now. And I think the more concerning thing besides the losses, and look, I thought that they were going to start strong. I thought they might stumble here in this part of the year. I didn't think they would lose three in a row. And right now, I would say, given what Cincinnati still has to play for, potentially they could be staring at a fourth consecutive loss. But what concerns me more is what we heard coming out of that locker room after the game. What concerns me more were the comments about, you know, everyone needs to do their part. We have one guy that is not falling in line with what we need him to do. And the biggest issue that I have with this is that it's coming from multiple players. It's coming from leaders. It's coming from veterans. It's coming from guys like Cam Hayward saying that the team doesn't want it enough. It's coming from guys like Patrick Queen, who is new to Pittsburgh, saying we got 10 guys doing the right thing and one guy doing the wrong thing. Guys have to want it more. Coming from the mouth of Alex Highsmith, one of their veteran leaders. TJ Watt just solemnly saying over and over and over, we just got to get to work here. I mean, it's week 17. You don't want it in week 17? If you don't want it in week 17, you really didn't want it in training camp. You didn't really want it in week one, and you're probably not really going to want it once you get to the playoffs. You know, you play the state championship game against Philly. You know, you're taking on a regional rivalry, I guess, if you want to call it that. It shouldn't take you very much to get up for a matchup of Steelers-Eagles in Philly. AFC North Championship on the line, a chance to clinch a home playoff game. It shouldn't take much to go to Baltimore and act like you want it. And then after losing two in a row and people are beginning to doubt you, you come home Christmas Day, you have the two-time defending champions, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Travis Kelce standing on that other sideline, Andy Reid's over there, and you don't want it? I mean, what are we doing here? What are we talking about here? What kind of motivation should it take for you to want it more? Joel, if you can get my computer up here, I want to play. This is Cam Hayward. This is Cam Hayward after the game the other day.
Yeah, guys got to want it. Guys got to execute. You know, 16-10 at halftime. Got all the opportunities in the world, but we'll look at it. We'll see what needs to be corrected.
Doesn't sound like a guy that's particularly confident in the direction of the team. Here's Alex Highsmith, another veteran leader.
I mean, it's a lot. You know, it's just got to be a want to. You know what I mean? Like, there's not enough of that right now. There's got to be a want to. And it's that time of the year where, like, you know, just like I said, we got two guaranteed games left. Like, we're going to find out. We need to find out who wants this, you know what I mean? And so everybody in this room got to want it. And that's the only way we're going to move on. We're going to get better. So I said, we just got to put down our head and worry, but we got to want it.
You know, there's a litany of player speak going on in there, but at the same time, for him to say over and over and over again that guys have to want it, I've seen the Steelers lose games before and be questioned about desire, and guys adamantly say, that's not an issue here. We want it, but we're just not executing. There's a communication issue. Something or the other is off. But desire isn't questioned. That's not what we're hearing here. What we're hearing now is that there is at least one player on this team who doesn't really want it. one player on that defense, at least, that is not motivated. Cam Hayward came out and said, you know, when you have 10 guys doing the right thing and one guy doing the wrong thing, we're screwed. My question is this: who is the one guy? Is it one guy? Is it a revolving door of people from one play to the next? Look, on every play, somebody does something wrong. I mean, there's too many moving parts and pieces for everything to go perfectly right every single play. It's a matter of, does the offense exploit it? And I think what we've seen over the last 3 weeks is that when they've had one breakdown, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes are able to exploit it. So I'm not going to sit here and say that it's one particular person that is screwing the pooch here, so to say. What I will say is this: I can identify a couple of people who don't look like they are doing the things that they need to do. Two in particular on that defense. And while the Steelers won't name names, while they're afraid to call people out specifically, I'm not afraid. Minka Fitzpatrick and Cam Sutton have been issues for this team. And I don't know, I can't specifically say that it's those guys directly who are the problem, or if it's the situation that they've been put in within that defense. I'm not going to blast them fully for that because I don't know. I will say this: the last 3 weeks, the defense has taken a massive step back. Joel, if you recall, going back to that Eagles game, what was one thing that Tom Brady mentioned a number of times with Minka Fitzpatrick?
He was playing out of position and in the box.
Yes. That what Minka Fitzpatrick had been doing all year long, playing back off the line of scrimmage, he was not doing any longer. Now, of course, it was, you know, Deshaun Elliott's not there, so they're making adjustments or moving Minka around to try to offset some of that. I get that. But you hear words thrown out there from people like hero ball, going rogue, out of position, etc. And I'm not suggesting necessarily that Minka's out there, you know, like Jackie Moon and semi-pro, you know, going rover and just running around in circles and not having any sort of point to what he is doing. But clearly whatever they are doing with Minka Fitzpatrick in these last 3 weeks ain't working, because time after time after time, they are getting gashed over the middle. They are having blown assignments, blown coverages. The last 2 weeks in particular involving tight ends. Before that, it was wide receivers. The last 2 weeks, it's been tight ends. Mark Andrews wide open in the back of the end zone for a touchdown, and guys just with their hands up looking at each other saying, what the hell just happened? Isaiah Likely leaking out of the backfield and being wide open for a touchdown catch with nobody within 10 yards of him. Guys looking around saying, what just happened? Travis Kelce wide open in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. This is like the Tomlin Steelers of old, where they can't stop a tight end all of a sudden. Hasn't really felt like an issue throughout the majority of this year. They also haven't seen Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and Travis Kelce all that much this year. They haven't seen that caliber, I think, of tight end for the most part. And outside of their Raiders game with Brock Bowers, have they really been that tested from the tight end position? I don't think so. But clearly this move of Minka Fitzpatrick, whether it's by design, whether it's by his choice, I don't know. But clearly that has thrown off the back end of the D in the middle of the field, where quarterbacks are saying, oh, Minka's not there. We got him. We got him right where we want him. And we're coming right at him. Now, Tom Brady talked a lot about it, how they had moved Minka Fitzpatrick. And what was the result? A lopsided loss. The following week, you saw more of Minka sitting around in the box. What was the result? A lopsided loss. Last week, What was the result? A lopsided loss. Whatever they have done, and they got healthy for last week as well. I mean, Joey Porter Jr. didn't play, but that's a guy with a PFF grade that, you know, you wouldn't be able to graduate college if that was your score. It's down around 50. Whatever they have done these last 3 weeks in tinkering with this defense hasn't worked. And the problem that I have is this. This keeps happening. This isn't the first time that we have seen them struggle late in the season with communication issues, with guys out of position. I mean, how many times did they face the Patriots late in the year in a playoff game under Mike Tomlin and look totally and completely outcoached, outmanned, outgunned, out everything? Year after year after year, December football rolls around, and Mike Tomlin, who loved to say, we're going to unleash hell in December, where is that? Who are you unleashing hell on? Your fans? That's what it appears to me. Where is this defense late in the year? Why are we talking about communication issues when we're sitting here in week 17? Why are we talking about motivation issues when you're playing the Chiefs with a chance to potentially win your division that day on Christmas Day at home? And you're talking about motivation issues playing the two-time defending champions? You're talking about communication issues when you've been doing this for months? I mean, they showed up to La Trobe in what, late July, August, early August? These are week one, week two problems. That was a line that came out of the locker room. Week one and week two problems are happening in week 17. So what's the common denominator here? Why is it that year after year after year, we get to week 17, week 18, the first round of the playoffs, and all of a sudden the Steelers don't know what the hell they're doing on defense? Why is it that there are guys with their arms up looking around saying, what's going on here? In a one-off situation, I could say, yeah, guys make mistakes, defensive breakdowns, communication problems. But when it happens year after year after year, all of a sudden, it's not a one-off anymore. All of a sudden, it's not a standalone one-year issue. When it happens time and again, it comes down to coaching. And the coaching late in seasons for the Pittsburgh Steelers has not been good enough. It's the reason why they're knocking on the door of eight straight years without a postseason win. It's the reason why late in seasons they have collapsed now multiple times. In 2020, this team was 11-0. They didn't do anything the rest of the year. And they were bounced in the first round. You know, it's the reason why you look at this team and think, yeah, they're good enough to not have losing seasons, but they're not good enough to go beat the Ravens late in the year, to go beat the Eagles late in the year, to go beat the Chiefs, the Bills, etc., etc. Good but not great. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers these last 8 years. Good, but they're not great. And to me, it just cannot be reduced to guys got to do their job, guys got to execute. This is all on the guys. It's all on the guys on the field. They're the only problem. No. That excuse flies out the window when you're talking 4, 5, 6, 7, now 8 years into this thing where we have seen them not look sharp late in seasons. It's inexcusable. And it has to come back to coaching at some point. I don't know what the answer is there. Look, they're not firing Mike Tomlin. It's not happening. You can scream about it on Twitter all you want. You can, you know, call in and talk about it. I get it. We'll let you call in 412-928-9370, but it's not happening. They're not going to fire Mike Tomlin. They have made that clear. They would rather have this happen year after year after year than fire Mike Tomlin and risk potentially a losing season. So it's not gonna go down. Maybe it should. But the question now is, how do you get this thing back together? It's spiraled to the point where I don't know if it's fully lost, but it sure is on that ledge right now. And when you hear guys in the locker room say, we got guys that don't want it, that becomes an issue. A huge issue. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I'm Josh Rountree. I'm in for Pomp and Joe today. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Pomp and Joe show without Pomp, without Joe. I'm Josh Rountree in for the guys here until 2 o'clock today. Good to be with you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. Mentioned this before we went to the break. You know, this Steelers team, it's worrisome to me what's happening. It's worrisome to me that we're at December 27th and we're hearing things come out of that locker room talking about effort, want to, communication, out of position. We're hearing things like hero ball get thrown around. Not good. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on the root of the problem. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Bob in Freeport first on the Fan. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. I if you can just hear me out, this is, it sounds like you're swinging from the same tree here, but 52 years old, I remember, it was a birthright, you thought, being competitive, if not winning the Super Bowl, at least making a strong physical run. And then the 80s came, and then Cowher kind of made a decent run at it as well. What is most frustrating, and I think everybody is afraid to say this, is Tomlin's the problem. You see an owner like Art Rooney II, the Chief and Dan, no matter what you thought of them, they truly demanded accountability, and they had loyalty, yes. But at some point, Noel was asked to resign. Cowher resigned. And Tomlin should have been on that podium a few years ago. And when you hear Art Rooney II say, I am not discouraged with the direction of the team because we are excited that we play meaningful games in December.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Chief or Dan Rooney saying this? When you look at this guy, we're right in the middle of another December, pointing fingers, falling on their face, clueless, incompetent. Mike Tomlin at halftime the other day, the lady asked him point blank, which I don't even know why she's there, but she asked him point blank about what they need to do with scheming. He said, it's not scheming. We need to make plays. Okay, how many times is he going to get embarrassed by offensive minds? If he's the defensive guru, we are like a laughing stock in the secondary and an overall defense. And a missing person report, anybody see T.J. Watt? Anybody see Mr. All-Pro linebacker that they signed in the offseason, Patrick Queen? Until people realize, until the Rooneys realize, he thinks that people are just going to show up. Look at all the red seats the other day. Look at the empty seats. People that aren't sucked in by, oh, my God, we're just going to click our heels and we're going to win. They realize, people that know football, this team is utterless and rudderless against the frickin' with Mike Tomlin as its coach. It's going nowhere. And everybody can ignore it and give him excuses and defend him and, oh, no winning seasons. Zero playoff wins in 8 years, 3-15. When is enough enough? People have tuned this team out, and Rooney thinks he's just going to, pull the smoke over people's eyes. He's going to be sitting there with his palms up in the air going, what happened to our fan base? Because this is a train wreck.
Bob, great call. Appreciate it. That's pretty good. Pretty good stuff from Bob in Freeport right there. I cannot disagree with a lot of what was said in there. Utterless and rudderless is an expression that I'm absolutely going to steal. I'm not entirely sure what it means, but I like it. Here's what you need to know about Mike Tomlin in December. Late season football, he's 11-13 since 2020. Is that the standard? We can sit here and talk about what they have done. We can sit here and talk about the non-losing seasons, and I know people are sick of that, whether you're mocking it, whether you're actually referencing it. People are so sick and tired of hearing about the non-losing seasons. It's become a punchline to a joke now, and that joke, I suppose, is the franchise itself at this point. In that regard. But, 2020, they're 11-0, and they end up winning, what, one more game the rest of the way? Barely. This year, they're 10-3, and then they go and lose three in a row, and they're knocking on the door of ending the year on a five-game losing streak. This is a real possibility right now that they don't win another football game this year. 11-13 in the month of December since 2020. And a lot of that has centered around communication issues with his defense. And make no mistake about it, it is his defense. Mike Tomlin is heavily responsible for the scheme, the personnel, the structure, and yes, even the execution. Yeah, we can put a lot of this on players, et cetera, this and that. Did they not look completely and totally out-schemed in these last couple of games? Did they not look completely and utterly and rudderly, I believe was the expression, out-coached in these last couple of games? I think that they did. Jay in Columbus next on The Fan. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning. I don't know if a lot of Steeler fans know this, but we had the ninth longest drought in the playoffs in the NFL. The
yeah.
The eight teams above us have switched out coaches a minimum of two times, okay? Last year, we got boat raced. We made Bailey Zappe look like Tom Brady. We got boat raced by two teams in 5 days at home that picked in the top five of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
This team is on the verge of quitting on Mike Tomlin. If they lose five in a row, Art better whack Tomlin or I won't watch another game next year. This team is so ill-prepared.
Come on, Jay. You'll still watch next year. Don't give me that. You're still going to watch. Come on.
Don't say that.
Come on. You'll watch.
8 years, boat race. I mean, the guy is a joke. He's Mr. Word Salad. That's all he's good for. The media buys it. Nobody holds him accountable. So if they get blasted by the Bengals and get boat raced by Texans and they don't fire him, I'm out. See ya.
All right, Jay. The amount of times I've heard someone say, I'm never going to watch this team again, and this is coming from somebody that did 2 years of Pirates pre- and post-game on this very radio station, I'm never going to watch this team again. And then there they are calling you the next year, the next game or whatever, and they watch again. But maybe he won't. I don't know. The issues are accurate. The issues pointed out are certainly accurate, but I just don't see it happening. Even if they lose the next two, I don't see it happening. The issue to me is, you know, the problem that I have when we talk about coaching changes here is this. They're paying Mike Tomlin an extraordinary amount of money. They are as loyal to their coaches as any team in professional sports history. If not the most loyal team, they're certainly among the very, very top of the line. This is a dream job. I would think it should be a dream job for any prospective NFL head coach. If the Steelers job comes open, you get candidate number one on the list, on anybody's list. You get candidate number one to come here, but they feel like they have the best guy for the job. And keep in mind, you know, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about this guy being in the mix for coach of the year. But the results of December are rearing their ugly head again, and it's all looking like same old with this coaching staff and with this franchise. That we get to December, and all the feel-good stories that have started seasons quickly dissipate and turn into nothing but frustration for the fans. Rob in the car next on The Fan. What's up, Rob?
This is sad, man. This is really sad, man. Like 3 weeks ago, where was all these callers at then? Where was all these callers at then, 3 weeks ago?
Well, they were 10-3 3 weeks ago, and now they're 10-6.
But we can't always keep pointing the finger at Mike Tomlin, man.
So who do you point the finger at, Rob?
I'm going to tell you one person who should never have been put on the lineup. Cam Sutton looks lost out there, man.
You're right about that. I cannot argue that.
He looks lost out there. Beanie Bishop wasn't having a great year like that, but he had some key interceptions. Anybody loses, I mean, gets burnt every now and then. Cam, you look at Mark Andrews, Cam Sutton, wide open.
So
Kelsey, Cam Sutton's in there.
So Rob,
put in the lineup.
All right, Rob, I get you, but who put him in the lineup?
I understand that Mike Tomlin did.
Okay, so that's where the frustration. But ultimately,
but hear me out, though. When you gonna start holding some of these millionaires accountable, man? When? I thought I seen T.J. Watt down the strip fishing before the game. Like, what are we going to do, man?
Was he at Holy's? Was he buying fish? What was he doing? I don't know.
Nobody said nothing about Russell Wilson yet. He's going right back to taking bad sacks, throwing the ball. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Stop it, man. Stop it, please.
Look,
it needs to stop. It needs to stop. I've been living in this city all my life.
Yeah.
All my life. He can win another. He can win another Super Bowl. I still want to run him out of here.
Yeah.
Who you want? Y'all want? Matt Eberflus? Who y'all want? Who do y'all want for the job? I need to know because I've been living in Pittsburgh all my life.
I'd take Ben Johnson right now.
He ain't gonna come here.
Why?
He ain't gonna leave Detroit.
Why would he not leave Detroit for the head coach to make $12.5 million that Mike Tomlin's making as the head coach of the most loyal franchise in sports to their coach?
Before he leaves, I'll bet you they give him a pay raise before he leaves.
But they can't give him NFL head coaching money even as a coordinator. If the Steelers job opens up, Ben Johnson would walk from Detroit. And thanks for the call, Rob. Ben Johnson would walk from Detroit to Pittsburgh to take that job. That is a $10 million a year job. That is the most secure franchise in all of sports when it comes to the head coaching position. You have a massive leash. You have a quarterback position that could be potentially molded in the draft or in free agency or whatever. Ben Johnson would walk here from Detroit to take the Steelers job. Let's not get it twisted about who would you hire? Are you going to do any better? That tired ass narrative has been thrown out here for far too long that you can't do any better than Mike Tomlin. There are coaches that do well that end up getting fired and their franchises move on and they do fine. It happens every damn year. Look, if you want to sit here and say Mike Tomlin's a great coach, I'll listen to that. I'll hear that. The proof is in the last 8 years of pudding right now that that's potentially not really the case. I think Mike Tomlin is a very good football coach, but I think very good football coaches run their course sometimes in certain spots. Good coaches, period, run their course. We see it happen in the NHL all the time. You know, the NHL, they fire great coaches every year. You know, they get 3 years to sort of prove it, and if it doesn't go particularly great in 3 years, they're gone. I like that Mike Tomlin has gotten the ability to reinvent this team, to restructure this team post-Ben Roethlisberger. But we're now on iteration two of that attempt, and they just lost three games in a row in December yet again. I'm not sitting here screaming for the guy to be fired, but at some point, there has to be some retrospective looks here onto what exactly is going on with this franchise when it gets into the latter months of the season, and why is it not working? And yes, if the determination comes out that the head coach is not able to properly and adequately prepare his team for December football and facing elite teams late in the year, and he is constantly getting run around by other coaches, out-schemed, out-coached by other coaches late in the season, it all comes back to one common denominator then. And if you sit back and you determine that that is the issue, I don't know what other decision you're left with. Do you overhaul the roster? Realistically, as a part of this 8-year run without playoff wins, there's been, I think, 3 people in their current position involved. 4 if you want to include ownership. Art Rooney, Mike Tomlin, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward. Outside of that, I think it's an entire new roster. 2 of those guys are all pros. Chris Boswell would be the other. All pro. Caliber player. You know, you can't turn the roster over and get rid of all pros and think that it's all on them. I don't know what the answer is. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. We got Ray Fittipaldo coming up in about 20 as well. I'm Josh Roundtree in for Pomp and Joe. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Whole lot of, I don't want to say hate. I don't like to use the word hate. But a whole lot of disapproval of the current leadership of the Pittsburgh Steelers in our calls so far. People are fed up. They're fed up with December football not looking all that well. And look, we can sit here and talk about Tomlin this, Tomlin that, and we can speculate this and that. But the biggest problem that I have, and what comes back to leadership to me, is when you hear guys say that there are guys in that locker room that need to want it more. Mike Tomlin, I thought, was the ultimate motivator. That's what has been sold to me, is that Mike Tomlin is a great players coach. He's great at dealing with personalities. He's great at motivating his team. He's great at getting his guys to play. That's what everybody who has played for him that goes into national media, you know, Ryan Clark and so on. It's what you see in Hard Knocks, and you see guys say that. And I believe that for the most part, but when you start hearing guys in December football after another year where they don't look sharp saying that guys need to want it more, to me, that comes back on leadership. Let's go to Kim in McKeesport next on The Fan. What's up, Kim?
Hey, first-time caller.
Great.
I am big into sports, just to give you an FYI. I do a football poll with my family in the last, I don't know how many weeks, mm-hmm. I've hit 14 out of 16 games. I've identified the winner.
All right. Credentials are there.
The Steelers. I honestly believe that somebody is paying them to actually lose. They're giving them the information.
Okay, Kim, thanks for the call. Let's go to Tony. Kim, come on. Let's go to Tony in Pittsburgh next on The Fan. What's up, Tony?
Hi. I want to make two comments. First of all, every time someone talks about Tomlin in good light, and I'm talking announcers, everybody.
Yeah.
The only two things they talk about, no losing season and players love to play for. Now, I watched the last couple games, and it showed the call on fourth down. Mm-hmm. And here's the big thing. Playing Watt when he's semi-injured. They're going into the playoffs one way or another. Have him healthy. It's a whole new season in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Second of all, they've adjusted that defense, okay, because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the last couple games. Fitzpatrick, tackles for loss. Fitzpatrick, interceptions. The guy that's been quiet all year is because of the coaching and the way they play him in that defense.
Yeah. But at the same time, making more plays behind the line of scrimmage, Tony, and I talked about this at the top of the show. Thanks for the call. Making more plays, yes. Around the football more, yes. Steelers are getting beat over the middle. Those crossing routes against Philly, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith is tearing them up over the middle time and time and time again. The last 2 weeks, tight ends getting wide open over the middle time and time and time again. Maybe you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, but it sure looked better when Minka was playing back in center field and not making plays than it has now from the grand scheme of things. And look, I was critical, too, of Minka Fitzpatrick. I sat here and said, it's been 2 years since this guy has an interception. That's not good enough. But I don't know. I would rather them look like a top five defense in the NFL with Minka Fitzpatrick playing more of a center field safety valve role than him playing around the line of scrimmage and guys getting torched behind him. Maybe they're just not good enough behind, without Minka Fitzpatrick back there. Maybe they're not good enough to play that type of system without him being that safety valve back there. But they got to figure it out in a hurry because they either need to go back to what they were doing where Minka Fitzpatrick was making less plays in and around the football and in and around the line of scrimmage, or they got to live with what they have right now. And right now that's a 3-game losing streak and it doesn't look good. George in Finley next on The Fan. What's up, George?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So listening to the calls prior to mine, I kind of want to change the course of my conversation. I go to Steeler games maybe a couple times a year. I don't have season tickets, but I look on Ticket Exchange, and looking last week, there was single seats available. And this week, almost half the stadium is available through Ticket Exchange. And you got to check that out. I think that's a story. And I think that's the only way, you start getting no-shows in a seat that Rooney would make a change.
Well, I think part of that this year is that they played on Christmas Day, and there's just a lot of people that aren't going to go to a football game.
I mean, for the next game, for the Bengals game, there's a lot of seats available.
Well, they're on a 3-game losing streak, man. And, there's a possibility that they might not play their starters. I think there's a chance that they maybe don't run all their starters out there. And, you're talking about potentially bad weather as well. The reality is, George, and thanks for the call. The reality is right now across sports in general is that there's a lot of tickets available. There's a lot of tickets for not a lot of money available throughout sports right now. Let's go to Rich on the road up next on The Fan. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Merry Christmas. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you as well.
I just wanted to touch base. Bob in Freeport, his call was phenomenal. Hit it, nail on the coffin. I just wanted to give him some kudos because it was just a great hearing out, you know, from somebody else thinking the same minded. You know, we're stuck in purgatory. You know, it's just, and you also said it, Josh, you know, common denominator is Mike Tomlin. You know, he is a great head coach. We can't discredit him for that. But, you know, over time, you know, the same word, it just gets stale. You know, it just, you need change over time. Change is good. And, you know, our last playoff win, James Harrison had 3 sacks on Eric Fisher, and we had 6 field goals against Alex Smith.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, the same thing year in and year out. It would be nice.
Oh, and there he goes. I don't know what happened. Look, I mean, I think the change of message is, you know, it's understandable. I think it's understandable that people feel that way. You know, we're right. I mean, 3 weeks ago, we're talking about, you know, we're watching Hard Knocks, and I'm like, wow, boy.